Hello, everyone. Welcome to the SoFit Society podcast. I am your host, Marissa Arnone, NASM CPT, RDN. That basically stands for, hey, I'm a personal trainer and registered dietitian slash nutritionist. So let's get right into it. I do not have an intro yet. I have a really cheap microphone I bought off Amazon. And I've just accepted the fact that I'm not going to try and make this perfect right out the gate and that it will improve with time. I will one day have guests on, but for now I'm doing this by myself so I can make sure that I know what I'm doing before I ask anyone to join me. So that's basically where we're at today. And I just felt compelled to do this on a random Tuesday. It's currently December 20th. I have no idea when I'm going to put this out. Maybe I'll put it out today. Who knows? I did not expect to decide to do this morning. I just was in the shower. As always, shower thoughts. This is where everything stemmed from. All my creativity and inspiration is either when I'm in the shower or going to bed and trying to calm my mind. So today I was just like, hey, I've been wanting to do this podcast and I specifically wanted to talk about my dietetic internship experience. Even if no one really cares about it, I care about it and I want to reflect on it. So this first episode is really just for me to reflect on my internship experience, how that went, share some ridiculous stories from that time, and just put it to rest almost, because that was a really hard time of my life. And this feels like sort of therapy for me in a way. So I hope you can gain some value, some insight, whether or not you yourself are on the path or are interested in becoming a dietitian. This is for anybody who needs some motivation and inspiration. So don't feel like you have to listen to this if you're only like on that one specific track. A dietetic internship is a very unique experience that not a lot of people go through. And I feel truly lucky and honored to have gone through that experience myself, because it is freaking hard and it taught me a lot of grit. I'm going to be honest, I'm on my period right now, so it might even get emotional. If I start crying, I'm really going to try not to cry, but I am a very emotional person. So if that happens, just be a little mentally prepared, because we're going to rehash some really emotional times throughout that period. So without further ado, I'm going to start from the very beginning. Not the very beginning of when I decided I wanted to become a dietitian, but the very beginning of my internship. Just overall, the hardest year of my life spanned from May 2021 to May 2022. I can say with confidence that that was the hardest period of my life, and about 9 months of that year were spent full time at my internship. And the thing is, that year wasn't hard because of my internship, but it definitely made it harder. So what I first decided, actually, you know what? I did really, it was a whole year, because I started in May. I got accepted into my dietetic internship on April 5th, 2021. I graduated from the University of Florida on May 4th, 2021. And right out the gate, I had all these documents and paperwork to submit to my internship before I got started. So really everything did start, and I had to prepare myself that entire summer to officially begin my internship August 28th, 2021. So that entire summer, I had the sole responsibility of finding preceptors. And for those that don't know, anytime that I use the word preceptor, I am referring to a registered dietitian that is in a position of authority at whatever facility they're working at. and they are basically my supervisor. So whenever I say preceptor, think of that me as saying my dietitian supervisor. So I did something called a distance internship, which is a little bit different from what a lot of people typically do. A lot of dietitians go and get their master's at the same time as their internship, and they do internship part-time and then their master's program either full-time or part-time. I decided that I didn't want to spend the money and the extra time and anguish going through a master's simultaneously. That was just not where I was at that point in time. I didn't want the stress of trying to find scholarships or taking out loans. I wanted to be able to pay for it upfront, whatever it was, whatever the cost, and then be done with it. And I am so glad I went that route, because my internship, I did it full time and I completed it in 9 months. If I did the MSDI, it probably would have been like a year and a half to 2 years. I'd still be in it. I'd still be grinding, and I would not be a dietitian yet, or I would just now, you know, be graduating and on that path. And I know everything happens for a reason. I know I make decisions for a reason. And that's why I felt really good about doing a distance internship. But basically what that meant was I was responsible for finding all my preceptors instead of having them already assigned to me like they would be with a traditional internship. So that entire summer, I was reaching out to people, making a lot of phone calls, emails, what have you, to get my schedule in place. So not only do I need to find my preceptors, I also had to organize them and ask them, okay, what months are you free for this? And put them in order of what would work best for each individual person. And it was a lot of, honestly, I want to say it was a lot of stress, but I'm kind of holding back from saying that because that was absolutely nothing compared to the rest of the year. So I honestly was able to do that and accomplish that pretty easily compared to some of my other friends that were also doing a distance internship. I felt like it came pretty naturally. Just things ended up working out really well, even though, you know, a month before I'm supposed to start, I had one of my preceptors say, hey, I'm no longer working here anymore. You got to get in contact with this person. And so I got in contact with that person. And instead of starting in October, I had to start in January for that one. And then things got switched around last minute. So that part was a little stressful, but as a type A individual that craves control, it really taught me to let go, because not everything is going to work out exactly how I plan it, no matter what. It does not matter how intricately I plan anything. It's not always going to work out that way. And that was a seriously hard lesson that I had to learn early on, but I'm glad I kind of accepted that even before I started the actual internship, because it would get worse. So then my first rotation just meaning the particular facility and hours that I worked, was at the University of South Florida, which was about an hour from my house. It depended on the time of day. If I was driving there early in the morning, like I normally do, it was a 45-minute drive. And then on the way home with traffic, it was usually like hour 15, hour and a half. I really did not enjoy that drive home back to Tarpon Springs, but I did it and I accomplished it. That particular rotation came with numerous roadblocks. First of all, I had to wake up at 4:30 every single morning and be out of the door by 5 to make sure I was present at 6. So even though I say like 45 minutes, it probably took me more like 50 minutes. And then there was a 5-minute walk to campus from the parking lot, often in the cold towards October, heading towards that direction in the year, because I did this part of my rotation or part of my internship from late August to like mid-October or late October. I think it was actually the very last week of October. So it was almost completely 2 months. And during that time, every single, like Monday through Friday, I was waking up at 4:30, no exceptions. And I was also working the football games. So not only was I there for like 40 hours, Monday through Friday, I also worked Saturdays. So some weeks I was working upwards of 50 hours, maybe like 45 max, because I remember specifically with my internship, one of the rules was that you couldn't work more than 45 hours in a week for whatever reason. So I think I stuck to 45 hours consistently. And I wanted to do that because I could not see myself getting up at 4:30 in the morning every day for more than 2 months. That was my cutoff time. I love and cherish my sleep so much. That was so difficult for me because I would have to wake up, go to campus. Oftentimes, I was working 9 hours, sometimes 10 to 12, depending on the day. I definitely didn't keep it below 45 hours. That was probably just a lie. So I would end up getting home at 4:30 because of traffic. So I was out of the house 5 days a week for 12 hours, got home, and I would have to go to bed at 8:30 to try and get 8 hours of sleep. And of course, that never happened. So I would end up going to bed at like 9:30, 10. Really sleep deprived, really cranky all the time while I'm there. And during that time, not only did I have to wake up that early, I was also experiencing some of the worst GI problems of my life. I was bloated every single day. It literally felt like an air bubble of gas just sitting there constantly every day. I was running to the bathroom to go number two, like every single half hour or hour on the hour, especially after I ate something. Like if I had a snack there or my lunch, I'd be sprinting to the bathroom. And it really affected my ability to do my job there. And that's when I started to track what I was eating to try and figure out if I have any food sensitivities. And honestly, that is a story for another time. I can completely get into the food sensitivity talk at another time, because that in and of itself is a very long story. So if you want to hear that, please let me know, because I know a lot of people struggle with that. And I think that my personal experience with it can help you as well if you are struggling with consistent bloating, whatever else comes with IBS or food sensitivity. So back to my rotation at USF. That was a struggle in and of itself. And then getting home so late, really only having 4 hours, mind you. And a dietetic internship isn't just working for free. It is also completing projects outside of your internship. You're technically not supposed to complete your projects at work. And I say work, even though it's for free, because it was work. It wasn't just volunteering. It felt like work. So I would sometimes be able to ask my preceptors if I can just work on some of my projects there if there was not much going on. And a lot of times I was able to do that, which was really, really nice. And I know not every intern gets that privilege. So I was very thankful for that and thankful for my preceptors that were empathetic towards me, because they had gone through the same thing as me. They got it. They knew the exact position I was in. So they gave me some grace and leniency in the fact that they let me do my outside work at work sometimes when there was time to do it. And so that was one of my favorite rotations for a number of reasons. But first of all, like, being around athletes, young athletes all day, every day, they're just sometimes, they're really funny. Like, they'll say really dumb things and it makes me laugh and it adds more spice to my day. Instead of working with like a bunch of old people that just don't have like that enthusiasm, that level of enthusiasm. It basically, I'm trying to say that everybody matched my energy really well. So I was around a lot of people like me, and it felt good because even though I was exhausted every day, being around people that were high energy, it helped me maintain my energy while I was there. So I really loved that. I loved the responsibility it gave me and that sense of like, I'm making a difference here. I'm doing something that they very much needed because the preceptor that I had at USF, she was really on her own. And usually in a sports facility like that, you have teams of dietitians, but she was all on her own. And the amount of responsibility that woman carried on her shoulders, it gave me so much drive and inspiration to see someone be able to perform at that caliber day after day. She ended up leaving USF soon after I left to pursue another area of dietetics, but during her time there, like, she definitely made a difference, and it really showed by the way that the athletes treated her. They treated her with a lot of respect, and I admired that. I admired that she was able to carry herself in a way that she could get all of her shit done, but not look flustered, not look stressed, not have a mental breakdown, at least from what I saw. I didn't see her have a mental breakdown. That is different from me, because I definitely had a mental breakdown. I distinctly remember it. Plus, it's in my Snapchat memories. The day before my last day there, I had a huge mental breakdown. And of course, it was a day that my preceptor was not there. So I'm thankful, because I literally cried in her office for a good 30 minutes before I was able to pull myself together. And when I mean cry, I mean like hysterically hyperventilating, breaking down, wailing. And I was really hoping nobody in the other offices could hear me, because I felt a little embarrassed. But let me tell you why I was crying so much. So I was feeling burnt out. And as one does when they feel burnt out, they just sometimes can feel extra emotional. And if there's a lot going on, it's easy for something small, or that seems like something small, to make a big impact and really affect me emotionally when I'm in that state of burnout. So I was, like, the last couple weeks of my internship, I was working extra to make sure that I met my quota for hours by my quote unquote end date. So I was there all the time. And then I would have dance practice right after my internship shift was over. And because of that, I wouldn't get to go home, or I wouldn't be home until 9 or 10 at night. And then I'd have to do the same thing the next day. Granted, I chose to be on a dance team that semester because they met at USF's campus. So that was really convenient for me in that way. But we were preparing for a performance literally the week after I finished that rotation. So I wasn't just training once a week or twice a week. I was training every single day that week. So I would get off, I would go to practice. I'd have like an hour before everybody got there. I would eat something and then I'd go to practice. I was also in pain, remember? Mind you, I was in pain during all of this with my stomach and my intestines. So that added another layer to it. Aside from what was going on at home, which I'm not going to get into now, I was dealing with a very, very complicated home life, something I never thought I was going to experience in my entire life. And that's why this year was particularly hard for me. But without going into too much detail, that sucked too. So I was just in a constant state of trying to find time to sleep and working my ass off for free, an hour away from my house, then going to practice. And I was busy all the time. I was constantly trying to find time to squeeze in for my projects and eating and having a normal life and trying to do social media, mind you, because I had built up, you know, my TikTok following, my Instagram. I was really trying to keep consistent with that, which felt nearly impossible. So with all of that together, I was burnt out. I was super burnt out. And one particular evening, there was no one else in the USF athlete gym. So I was using the space to practice my dance routines for the competition. So what I was doing was, you know, just I had my phone out. I was dancing. No one was there. But then I didn't realize that because it was so late in the day, doors were locking. And I went up to the office where I had left, I think, my water bottle or my lunch bag or something like that. And I went back down to the facility and I couldn't get in to the door because the whole facility had locked. There were three entrances in and all three entrances were locked. I looked around the entire facility to try and find someone who was still working at that hour, and I found one person, and they were able to help me get back in. But by the time I found them, I was already going to be late for practice. So once I got down there, I rushed in, I grabbed my things, and I ran out because I was late. So I didn't think too much other than me getting my water bottle in my backpack or whatever I had in that room. And then I ran out and I did the rest of my thing. And then the next morning at, again, like 5 or 6 in the morning, I got to the facility. That's when everybody's there. And I had remembered the night before that I didn't have my charger. I was devastated because it was one of those like fast charging chargers and I wanted it so bad because there was like a shortage of chargers in my house. So I got there and I couldn't find it. I knew exactly where I left it to. That's the thing. I knew the exact outlet that I had left that charger. So I got there, I rushed in. I think I even got there early to try and find it before the athletes started working out. I went in there, no charger. I am panicking. My phone is already like going to die, even though it's 6 in the morning. And I'm just flustered in a little bit of a panic. So I'm asking everyone in the area, like all the athletic trainers, if they've seen a charger. And I told them exactly where I left it too. And finally, I get to one of the athletic trainers. And he looks at me and he goes, he just asks me, like, were you here last night? I'm like, yes. He goes, did you happen to leave a bench out of place? And I'm thinking back, I'm like, I don't freaking know. I was in such a rush. And then I start like really thinking about retracing my steps. And I remembered that I moved a bench from a vertical position. I pushed it and I turned it horizontal. So I had room in that space to dance. And apparently, because I was in a rush, I left my charger and I left the bench the way I moved it. And he was not happy because one other time in these 2 months, I didn't put a resistance band back where it's supposed to be. And again, because I was in a rush. So because of that, the fact that he had already told me once to put my things back after I'm done using them, which I should have done, I'm taking full responsibility for that. He was extra petty this time because he had already told me once. Of course, he didn't understand the crisis I was going through at that moment in time with dance, with working full-time, unpaid, with a very difficult family situation, all of these things, me not having the bench in the right place and not putting it back was the end of the world. Whereas to me, like I clearly did not think twice about it because I was in such a rush. So we were on two different mindsets around this damn bench. And he gave me my charger back, but he's like, he was so stern with me, like, do not do that again. He lectured me saying how it is a privilege to use the space and all of the athletes respect the space and put their things back. So I expect that from you as an intern. And like going off in that way, just lecturing me. And as he's doing that, I can feel the tears, like my face gets hot, my tears are welling up. in my eyes, and I grab my charger and I run. Like, I run up the stairs. Her office, my preceptor's office, was quite a ways away. So that's why I was running. I'm like, I am going to start wailing. So I ran up the stairs, I shut the door, and I just start bawling. I have pictures to prove it. It was not a good day. My face was puffy. I had hives all over my face, and I just broke down because I'm like, this man has no empathy, but also, like, he doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand the situation and my mental health right now to be able to empathize with me. So it's not that he just chose not to empathize. It's that I, of course, didn't give him any information about what was going on in my life. So how would he know? He probably just assumed that I was some entitled intern, and I just was careless in that way. But before that, it's funny because we always got along. Like, we laughed, we joked together a lot. And I thought, like, he liked me or thought I was funny at the very least. So I thought we had a decent relationship, and then that just blew it away. And of course, my last day was the next day, and it felt kind of tainted. Not gonna lie, I did not feel good walking away from the facility, but I tried to make amends. I tried to just leave with respect, and I said goodbye to him. I didn't want to be petty and just not say anything before I left, because I don't want to have myself look like that. Like, my character is not that way at all. I don't like to be petty like that to my acquaintances or any professional relationships. That's just not a good look if I'm going to be a future professional. So I said goodbye to everybody, and that was the end of that rotation. And we are already 26 minutes in, and there's so much more. So definitely stay tuned. I hope you're enjoying this so far, or even if no one's listening, I'm just glad to be kind of talking through this with myself, because this was such a huge chapter of my life and I needed to talk about it. The amount of money and time I poured into this time of my life just to be stressed out is crazy. I paid, what, $12,000 of my own money right out of pocket that summer before it started. And I feel proud of that. I'm glad that I was able to not put myself in a bad financial situation to move forward with the internship. And I'm glad I had the money available to do that. I'm very, very thankful. And I do feel like it is a privilege that I was able to get through the internship, and it taught me a lot. And in that moment, I learned, what did I learn? Just that I am a little bit stronger than I may have led myself to believe, because I was genuinely proud that I had not broken down at any other point during that internship, because me a couple of years ago probably would have been crying every day. But I held myself together and I got my shit done, put my head down. I just did what I needed to do. That one moment though, I was like, damn, he really got me. And I was a little bit annoyed at that, because I had held so many of the pieces together. And that one small thing of me, like, and I guarantee you that wouldn't have happened if I didn't lock myself out of the facility. That's how messed up it was. I would have had the time to gather my things, not forget my charger, move the bench back, if I wasn't already so flustered and like, oh my gosh, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get to dance practice. That's why it happened. I was like kicking myself over that. So I am going to take a quick break to take a sip of water, and I will be right back. Okay, I'm back. So now that we've talked about my time at USF, now we're going to talk about the fact that I had a break. I had like a 2-week break, and it was lovely. So I think that was the first couple weeks of November. of 2021. And then after that, I actually was an intern for a woman who owned her own private practice virtually. Pretty much exactly what I wanted to do once I became a dietitian. And that's why I reached out to her. I was so excited to actually get to learn from someone who's doing the exact thing I wanted to do in the realm of dietetics. And so with that, I did a lot of content creation for her. I did a lot of building. I built out her website. I built a course for her, like a presentation to sell a course. I did a lot of her social media stuff. I worked her Facebook group for her and just a lot of the back end behind the scenes things. And it gave me a lot of appreciation for, you know, virtual assistants, especially my virtual assistant that I have now, because of all this stuff that you have to do day to day. It is pretty tedious, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the creativity that I had with it. And I was very thankful for it because now I have a lot of good content that I can use for myself. Like we made a Thanksgiving survival guide, and I was able to turn that into a holiday survival guide and kind of take some of the tips that I made for it and turn it into my own thing. So that was really fun. And during this time, I was with her for about 2 months as well. And I was able to learn that my skill set is very large. And I can, if I ever need to fall back on something, I can fall back on web design with Wix or Squarespace. I can do content creation for another RD if I need extra work. There's always going to be something for me to do. There's always going to be a service that I'm able to provide to people, whether or not it is nutrition or workout programming. So that really gave me a lot of confidence. Also, the praise that I received from her felt really freaking good. It felt like I was doing my job properly, and I felt very valued by her because she would constantly let me know that I was not only doing what she needed me to do down to the very finest detail, but I was also doing it in a very small amount of time. So it's not like I was half-assing it and getting things to her quicker, but they were sloppy. It was that I was doing it fast, but I was also doing it right. And that made me feel really good about myself. Just whenever I would deliver something to her and her visibly be like, oh my gosh, you're done already. There came points where she was like, I don't have anything else for you to do right now because I wasn't expecting you to get this done this fast. So those were the moments where I was able to like work on outside projects. And so I was really thankful for that time that I had to do that. So I overall just had a really good experience with her. And she was going through some big life moments along that time as well. She had just gotten into a really bad car accident, literally the day or two before I was supposed to start with her, but she still showed up. She did not postpone me. She didn't say, oh, we can't do this anymore. My life is too overwhelming. She really pushed through for me. And that was, again, so inspirational for me to see from someone else who is in the shoes I want to be in one day. She also gave me a lot of good perspectives on health at every size and intuitive eating. She said, if you're going to work with me, you got to read the book Intuitive Eating. So I did. And I didn't love every single part of that book, but I loved the majority of it. And what I usually like to do with educational books like that anyway is take the stuff I love and then leave the stuff I don't love so much. And so I was able to apply a lot of the practices she taught her clients with intuitive eating and body image to my practice. And so that was a really pivotal moment for me, especially growing up in a household where you're taught that being thin and being quote unquote in shape is the ideal and pushing your body to its limits all the time is the only way for you to see results. Getting to see the flip side of that was really refreshing. So I worked with her for those 2 months, and then I had a break for Christmas and New Year's. I think I had like a month, an entire month long break, and it was so nice to just, you know, relax a little bit, even though I still had those projects, outside projects that didn't go away. I still had to get those things done. Just being able to be like, okay, I don't have exams right now. I can study for the RD exam if I want to, but I don't have to right now. So I was able to just chill out with that. But then after that, I ended up going to Advent Health and working as an intern there. And that came with its own set of challenges. So where do I even begin with this? First of all, I've had such good preceptors. I was so lucky to have so many amazing preceptors that really helped me get through this really stressful time in my life and were really empathetic towards what was going on with my family life at home. I think I did share with all of my preceptors kind of what was going on, so they were more understanding of where I was and like, if I started crying, this is why, kind of thing. So I worked at Advent Health, and mind you, this is all during COVID was still pretty big. It was January 2021, a huge COVID spike happened, and that was at the exact time I started at the hospital. So I was wearing, the entire time I worked there, wearing a mask. But because it was an Adventist hospital, and if you know me, you know I have colored hair, very vibrant, I had to pull my hair back into a scarf so that you couldn't see my hair while I was working. So that was new and interesting. I absolutely hated it because I hated the way the scarf felt on my head. I don't think I wrapped it correctly. It just felt like my head just felt heavy with it on, and I wasn't used to that feeling on top of having a mask on. So the moment that I was able to rip all that stuff off my face and off my head was so relieving at the end of the day. But what I learned there was something I hadn't learned up until this point. A lot of dietetic interns had clinical experience in college, so they have that background going into it. However, I did not, because the moment I was going to start looking for clinical volunteer opportunities in college was when COVID started. So I wasn't able to get into a hospital and really learn the basics before I was thrown into the real thing. So I was really thankful, again, for my preceptor that helped me with that learning curve a little bit. I knew going into it that the hospital life, being a clinical dietitian, is not for me. And afterwards, that 100% confirmed it, because what I was doing day to day was walking into a room, talking to a patient for 5-10 minutes max, asking them questions about how much they've eaten, 9 times out of 10, them telling me they have no appetite, me having to prescribe them and ensure or some sort of meal replacement shake or pureed food, things that they don't want to eat and don't want to consume, and going and writing my notes. Charting was the least painful part of my job. The most painful part was walking in to a patient's room, not knowing what to expect, not knowing if they're going to be in a good mood, in a bad mood, if they're going to want to answer my questions, if they're not going to want to answer my questions, if they're asleep, me having to potentially wake them up, if they're out and about and I can't even get to them until a later time, if they say one thing but their nurse says another thing and then I don't know what to write in the chart. And there was just so much. This was by far the most challenging part of my internship. It taught me a lot about myself. I am someone who brings my job with me home. And if I see a patient that's really not doing well, that puts me in a bummy mood for the rest of the day, because I feel for them so much. And it really breaks my heart to see people in the hospital sick and not wanting to eat, not really experiencing the full joy of life, not having that quality of life that I want to help people achieve. Because when they're there, I can't really do anything for them as much as I want to. I can't sit down with them once a week and have a 30-minute educational nutrition education session with them and teach them how to eat healthy at home and how to cook their meals at home, give them applicable tips. All I'm doing is asking them questions about their current food intake in the hospital. And then if I have to prescribe them something like an Ensure, that's what I do. And then I move on to the next. And I never get to really see it through. I never get to some patients, of course, I got to see a few times as, you know, they were in the hospital for more than a few weeks, but still, I would rather not see them in the hospital. I'd rather see them comfy in their own home, happy and ready to chat and not feeling like I'm coming in there interrogating them with questions they don't want to answer. And so I am very, very thankful for clinical dietitians because their job is freaking hard and not enough people know how hard it is. Because while I was in the hospital, I was the bottom of the food chain. Nobody cared who I was or why I was there, it felt like, in the inpatient area of the hospital. People just called me dietary, which I'm not dietary. Dietaries and dietitians and dietetic interns are completely different people and have different roles in the hospital. So they'd call me a dietary. I'm like, okay, that's not what I do, but fine. I don't just work in the kitchen exclusively. I'm seeing the patients. That is different. So I can't, they're just different. Not that one's better than the other, but they're different. And I can't give them information that they need from a dietary if I'm not a dietary. So that was a really annoying thing. A lot of people just didn't understand because I'm not a dietitian. So I don't have the authority that the dietitians have in the hospital. And at that time, being just an intern, dietitians in the hospital are already the bottom of the food chain. They are not treated with full respect by the nurses and doctors. And of course, not all nurses and doctors treat them without respect. It's just the common vibe I got was that the dietitians were always battling the nurses and doctors for authority to be able to say, hey, this person is malnourished. They need XYZ. They need a tube feed. But then they get pushback. They constantly get pushback about their opinions and about what they think is best for patient care. And that's what frustrated me so much. There was this amazing dietitian. She was only about 6 months ahead of me in her career. So she had just become a dietitian at the time where I was 6 months away from becoming a dietitian. And she was working in the hospital and just seeing how frustrated she was and seeing her cry over just the simple fact that people were not taking her seriously when she was trying to do what was best for the patient truly broke my heart. And I experienced just the same thing. But she and all the other clinical dietitians should have been treated with more authority than they were. I get it. I'm an intern. I don't have a say in anything. All the dietitians have to approve my notes. So I wasn't expecting to be like this, you know, whatever, walking around the hospital with a gold badge. I just wanted to be treated like a human being and people to understand why I was there and how I was here to help, not me feel like a nuisance every time I walked up to a nurse. That was, maybe it was all in my head, but that is the common consensus that I have received when talking to other dietitians and other dietetic interns. So I know it's not just me. And so that was really hard on top of the complicated family situation that was escalating and getting even worse. This was probably the time of my internship that I was crying the most. And my preceptor saw me cry quite a lot. And I wish he hadn't, but he was very understanding and did not push me to my breaking point. He was like constantly reaffirming that I was doing a great job because I was really doubting myself at this moment. since I had never had previous clinical experience, I didn't feel like I was doing everything right, or I felt like I was doing things very slowly. Like typing up charts, I felt like it should take me 5 minutes, not 20. But he just kept telling me over and over again that I'm doing a great job and I'm doing things at the pace that he's expecting me to. He never had to ask more from me because I was always doing the most that I could, which, and he like responded positively to that, gave me a lot of good feedback about that. So that was extremely helpful and helped me maintain my composure while working. If he was like really harsh and a stickler for like little tiny details that were out of my control and things like that, like just really authoritative, I would not have had a good time. But he made my experience there so much better than it would have been. Because I've heard stories about difficult preceptors from some of my other dietetic intern friends. And I am very thankful. I was so lucky to have found great preceptors. I know I keep saying that, but that was really what was pushing me through this and getting me through this period of time. I don't know if I would have quit ever, but I know I could have gotten damn close if I didn't have those people in my corner. So things ended up after that, after my time, like 2.5 months in the hospital, they ended up getting a little weird towards the end because I had one more rotation left. And during that rotation, I was supposed to be working at Head Start, which is a community. It's a government-funded program. It's either government-funded or nonprofit. It's going to show you, like, this part of my story is going to show you how little I actually know about Head Start. And you'll know why I know very little about this facility compared to my other ones. Because I was supposed to start at Head Start in March of 2022. And when I got there, it was a really hard day. But my first day, I'm like, I need to explain this. It is absolutely insane. The craziest freaking day that was. I'm just like recounting all the crazy moments that happened that day, but I'm going to give you the bare bones story. So the day I was supposed to start at Head Start, I was in a court hearing. I had to testify in court for some pretty heavy things. I'm not a felon. I wasn't in trouble. It was for my parents' divorce case and I was a witness. So I had to testify that morning before I went in to my first day there. I was hoping it would be a fairly easy day there because it's the first day. It's kind of like, okay, you're getting acquainted. You're learning the basics. So I get there after my court hearing and the lady, the wonderful dietitian that was there was like, oh, we should go to HR because you need to usually like fill out forms and make sure that you're all good to be here because it is a children's program. So they are very picky at who they allow into the facility. There needs to be background checks, like all these extra things. I had to do a background check for my internship, but they required an extra background check along with some paperwork to be filled out. And I sit down in HR and the dude behind the desk says, yeah, you can't be here right now. You haven't been approved yet. And I'm like, what? Because if you're me in that moment, you know that you're supposed to have a set start date and a set end date for every single rotation. And when things get moved around, that means my test date gets moved back. And I'm not going to become a dietitian as soon as I want to become a dietitian. And I was getting very stressed out in that moment thinking, oh my gosh, I am not going to be able to get this done if I have to wait another month. The dude said, I keep calling him the dude, I don't know why, but he said to me that it normally takes a couple months because of COVID, for whatever reason, to get approved to go to the facility. The reason this pissed me off so much is I knew, everybody knew that I was going to be at that facility literally a year before I got there. A full year. And nobody decided, hey, we should make sure that we get this paperwork to her, because how the hell am I supposed to know? Let's make sure that we get her started on that background check so that she can start at the correct time. Instead, I get there, sit down in that HR office, and I'm told I'm not supposed to be here. Something that was completely out of my control. Nobody told me about this. I did all the paperwork, all the documentation that I knew I had to do. And then I just sat there feeling like I couldn't do anything about the situation. It was completely out of my control. Now, this is how I know I'm going through some serious character development. Old Marissa would have started bawling right in front of my new preceptor and the HR guy, because I had just been through a very traumatic morning, and things that whole year had already been really hard for me. So hearing that and immediately thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be set back another month or two, should have potentially ruined my day. And I should have been bawling, because I've had moments like that before. I've had moments where I've broken down crying in front of people I really didn't want to, like strangers, acquaintances. It's a thing, because I am a control freak. And when things don't work out the exact way I plan them, I have anxiety. So I didn't cry. I held my head up. I found a solution. He told me, call this number, push for them to expedite your application. So I did that. And in the meantime, I was not able to go back to the facility. It took about a week or 2 weeks for me to get approved to return. And in that time, I asked my preceptor if I could work from home. And thank God she said yes. So it really, realistically, only set me back a couple weeks. But the problem was, like, there wasn't much for me to do at home, so I couldn't really count those hours. I was just working on projects during that time. So I didn't really count hours when I was at home. That's why it sent me back another 2 weeks. And that was just super stressful. And while I was there, I really didn't enjoy it. This was definitely my least favorite rotation, because I got there and I would sit in a cubicle for the entire day. And the dietitian there, she was super sweet. I loved her, but she did not have a lot of work for me to do. And most of the work that she gave me was busy work, which I don't think was her fault by any means. There just wasn't much as a whole for me to do for Head Start at that time. I wish I knew that before, because I would have searched for another community opportunity prior. But the really cool thing was, at the end of my clinical rotation, my preceptor said, hey, we have this awesome place called cardiopulmonary rehabilitation on the other side of the hospital. It's where all of the cardiac patients and people that have suffered from heart attacks, any COPD, any lung respiratory issues go to rehab. They get on exercise machines, and the people, the lovely ladies over there, have been wanting me to come in to do nutrition education presentations a couple times a week in there and have sit-down conversations with the cardiopulmonary rehab patients. And the problem is, I have too much on my plate, which he did. He was the clinical nutrition manager for the entire hospital, and that man did so much. I'm, again, just like the preceptor I had at USF, he needed more help and he didn't have it. He just put his head down and worked and did his thing. But he definitely did not have time to help out cardiopulmonary rehab. So I was like, heck yeah, I will totally do nutrition education presentations. All it required of me was to get up there once a week, answer their questions, do a topic that would interest them, and then I would see patients one-on-one with my preceptor there, of course, present, because I couldn't do one-on-ones without a dietitian there because I wasn't a dietitian yet. But he would literally carve time out of his day to watch me do that so that I could get more hours in. So I was actually able to leave Head Start early because I was supposed to be there for a month. I ended up, because of the problem I had with them, only being there 2 weeks. And then after that, I went straight into back to Advent Health to cardiopulmonary rehab. And I'm telling you, it was like night and day. Inpatient versus technically it was considered outpatient care was totally different. The nurses there respected the hell out of me and my preceptor. And I loved that. They really cared for us and wanted us to help the patients. They knew that we had such a strong purpose with those patients. And I loved that. So I was actually able to finish out my internship there. And it was like the icing on the cake. I loved it so much. And it made me feel really loved because the last week I was there, they gave me flowers. They had a cake made for me and the other intern there. And we got cards and completely like dedicated a moment for us and all the appreciation that they had for us. And that I didn't really get at any of my other rotations, but I think it's because it was literally my last rotation and I spent the most time at Advent Health compared to all the other places. So they really got to know me. They got to know my work ethic and how much heart and soul I put into my time there. And that was just a great moment. I loved it so much. And it made me feel really appreciated at a time that, you know, earlier that year, I didn't feel very appreciated. So that was just like a great end to my time as a dietetic intern. So 9 whole months of absolute craziness and learning and growth. I learned such strong work ethic. I learned that perseverance is key, pushing through despite hard times. And that helped me grow. And I'm so thankful for that because it gave me the grit and the desire to say, hey, I did all of this. That means I can easily study full-time for 6 weeks to pass this damn exam on the first try and finally reach the goal that I've been wanting to reach for the past 4 years. And I did that. And I am so thankful for where I am today because I literally feel like my life is on easy mode now. After all of that for an entire year, now fast forward, it is December. I've been a dietitian for over 6 months. I have wonderful clients. I work from home. I have my own schedule. I do my social media thing when I feel like it, not feeling like it's a chore. And I love life. And I'm so glad I got to this point and how much character development and growth I experienced. So I hope this episode gave you some inspiration to go about your day, even when things are hard, because I promise you, things get better. Things don't always stay bad. And honestly, the low that I experienced makes the high that I have now makes up for that low by tenfold. So I would go through something like that again if I know that in the future things will be 10 times better. And it really did. I'm so happy. I'm just so happy. And that's why I'm here making these podcasts. I want to share motivation, inspiration to all of you who feel like you need it. Go check out my website if you haven't already. I offer nutrition counseling, meal planning, online training programs, all of that good stuff. I don't have an outro yet. I don't have music. I don't have ads. I don't have any of that stuff that a podcast normally has yet, but I felt called to do this and I'm going to do it. And I'm so excited for you to be along this journey. So make sure you follow the podcast and I will talk to you later.